Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible every morning, Monday to Friday. We are here learning the Word of God, studying and letting God reveal His Word to us. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. And by the grace of God, we've done 19 books of the Bible. If you've not been able to listen to the podcasts that we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app, that's Bible In-Depth Network. You can find it on Play Store. And you can also use all other podcast platforms like Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, name it, whichever app that does podcasts, you'll find us there, Bible In-Depth. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you. And there is no limitation to revelation. God reveals His Word to whoever shows the need. If you want God to speak to you, He will indeed come out and speak to you. He has no limitations. He does not speak to the preacher only. He speaks to you as well. He does not speak to the pastor only. He speaks to you as well. He wants a relationship with you. And if you're open to that, He will have it with you. He will speak to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will give you revelation, because there is no limitation to revelation. God shall deliver His Word to us when we call on Him. And today I want us to start with Proverbs 21. We stopped at 20 yesterday. And it starts, "The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whichever way He wishes." Of course, they are talking about, you have a king, he makes decisions, he determines what's done in his kingdom, and his heart, we are told, is like channels of water. Yeah, wherever he wants, like the Lord does, he channels the water. The Lord channeled water where it should go. Yeah, he knew which spring should run in which continent, which river should run to what place, and he determines them. He decides where they go. And this king, though they might speak of the earthly ones, even your King in heaven, the Lord Almighty, yeah, He decides whichever way things might go, even in your life. And you know, sometimes we are depressed in life. We are stressed by the things that happen in life, by the circumstances in life, by the occasions happening in our life, things that have happened in our lives. And we wonder, is God there? He's the King. And He can determine which way your life should go. Oh, how I pray that the Lord does the best for you, that the Lord meets the desire of your heart, that which you've been longing for, that the Lord may bring it to pass. May goodness and favor and mercy follow you and come with you, because that's the desire of the Lord. The Lord wants good things for His children. And you should never be there and think the Lord does not wish good for you. No, He's a good God. He's the one who wishes the best for you. And He's going to turn your direction of life for the better. Have hope. Have faith. Sorrow and tears may be there in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And this is the day the Lord has made. You will rejoice in it. A day is coming where you will forget your pain. Forget everything that you've gone through, and forget all the troubles that are seeming, all the troubles that are breeding. And the Lord shall satisfy you with joy and happiness, because Him being the King of your life, His heart is good for you. His heart is ready to turn things for good in your direction, because He turns whichever way He wishes. If He turns and channels water in whichever way He wishes, even in my life, He will do it. He will give me good things. He will bless me. It doesn't matter how much people talk about you and say you will not succeed. They exist in life. And people never wish the best for you. People never say you amount to anything. But listen, God has a plan for your life. God has a good plan for your life. God has the best plan for your life. God has a plan that is going to transform everything about you for the better. God wishes good for His children. And we should always know that. Verse 2, "Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs and examines the hearts of people and their motives." We've looked at this multiple times, even this week, that the Lord examines the heart. Yeah, and he looks at your motives. While I'm helping this person, what are the motives behind? You know, there are people who help, and it becomes like a story of their life and your life. Every time they remind you of what they did for you. They remind you of how they helped you when you were in need. They remind you how they've paid your school fees all the time. And what is the motive behind you going out to help somebody? Is it that you have something against them? That whenever things go wrong or they hurt you, then you come back to remind them how you helped them in the past, how you helped them pay their rent. Is that the intention? Is that the motive? Is it control? Are you looking to control people? Do you help people so that you can control them? The Lord looks and weighs the heart. And when it comes to reward, God rewarding you for your actions, he will look at the motive. He will look and say, what was this person considering? What was in their heart when they were going out to help others? Is it to control them? Is it to brag? You know, it's a sticky matter, but sometimes when we give things, do we have to publish them? When I give to somebody, do I have to put it on Facebook? Do I have to put it everywhere and tell people of how good, how much good I've done, how I've sowed a seed into somebody's life? If I give somebody a car, do I have to go out and pronounce it? What is the motive? What is the intention? Are you looking for people to praise you because of what you've done? Or your motive is good, that I'm going out to help people who need food, but I will not publish them. I will not take their photos. Just imagine if it were you that they are taking photos of being handed to a kilo of rice and beans, and they publish it all over the world. Yes, there are matters of accountability, but there could be better ways that we could explore and see, other than having wrong intentions and motives. Yeah, that is key. It's a sticky matter, but it's one to address. What are your motives when you help? What are your motives when you give? What are your motives in everything that you do? What are your motives? God looks at your heart and examines and looks at the motives. Remember, we cannot hide anything from him. For him, he will look deep and know so-and-so is doing this for their own good. It's not for my glory. Yeah. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now they are talking about for the wrongs that are repeatedly committed. You know, from the Israel history, it is a history of sacrifices. Yeah. When you sin, you give a sin offering. When you wrong, there are all those offerings they had, the trespass offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, trying to mend ties with God and correct their life and walk with the Lord. And here he's saying, to him, doing righteousness and justice is more acceptable than you keeping on sacrificing, because you sin again and again. So you sacrifice again. You bring a goat, you bring a calf, you bring a pigeon, you bring whatever you bring. Yeah. And he's telling them, for you to give me that sacrifice because you feel and think it will appease me, it's better for you to live a righteous life. Yeah. And you know, some of us have things we do probably as compensatory for what we did. Yeah. You wrong someone, then you come about and do something compensatory. Oh, I'll take you out for lunch. Oh, I'll buy for you something. Oh, let me send you some mobile money so that you have something to buy for yourself, something good, because you hurt that person. But those things you give to that person, it is better for you to learn to treat them right than to give them every time you wrong them. It's better for you to treat them right. Be righteous. Be just with them. Be honest with them than to say every time I wrong, I'll send something to compensate for my errors. I'll take them out for lunch. They don't need so many lunches. They need you to treat them right, because that's what people need. Just like God tells you that he desires righteousness and justice instead of sacrifice, as he's speaking to these Israelites at that time. And to you also, it does apply. Justice, righteousness in your life. Yeah. Haughty and arrogant eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked. Now they're talking about their self-centered pride, is sin in the eyes of God. Yeah, that one we know. Arrogance, pride. They're talking specifically arrogant eyes. Yeah, the people who look in a really demeaning manner. They look at you and you feel that they've gone through you. Yeah, that does not bring joy to the Lord. Yeah, it's sin in the eyes of the Lord. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance and advantage, but everyone who acts in haste comes surely to poverty, acquiring treasures by a lying tongue. We've spoken about that so much this week. Is a fleeting vapor and seeking and pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked will return to them and drag them away like fish caught in a net, because they refuse to act with justice. The way of the guilty is exceedingly crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. Yeah? It is better to live in a corner of the housetop, on the flat roof, exposed to weather, than in a house shared with a quarrelsome, contentious woman. Of course, like I always add, even a man. You know, we read the Bible sometimes and think it is only speaking to the ladies, but even to you as a man, live peacefully. Yeah, as a woman, live peacefully. Don't be quarrelsome. Let's have peace in our households. Peace in our homes, yeah? We deserve it. Your husband deserves it. Your wife deserves it. To have peace, yeah? And those, sometimes the things we say, me, I'm, you don't know me, don't joke with me, you don't know how strong I am, you don't know what. That does not help, it does not bring any peace in a place. But you need to calm down. We need to learn to calm down, yeah? Because here they are saying it's better for you to be exposed to weather, stay outside and sleep outside, than be in a house where somebody is always in a quarrel with you. And that is brought out, of course. And we see it. There are people who opt and say, I'd rather stay outside. I'd rather not go home, because when I reach home, I'm getting into a quarrel with my wife or with my husband. I would rather stay out. But it's always incumbent on us as in relationships, as couples, to always find peace. Yeah, there's nothing so big that you cannot find peace and discuss. The soul of the wicked desires evil like an addictive substance. His neighbor finds no compassion in his eyes. When the scoffer is punished, the naive becomes wise. But when the wise and teachable person is instructed, he receives knowledge. We've talked about instruction and being people who are teachable and instructable. Yeah, that you let your life be instructed. You let people speak into your life positively, people who are of value. Yeah, we talked about that. Not just letting everyone speak into your life. You know, there are so many people out there who have something to say. But do you decide and determine what and who is going to speak and what you're going to consume for your life? The righteous one keeps an eye on the house of the wicked. How wicked are cast down to ruin. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will cry out himself and not be answered. Yeah, charity that we talk about and we emphasize helping the poor, listening to the poor, listening to their cry. What are they trying to say? Yeah, because from scripture here, it says that if you do not listen to the cry of the poor person, then you too, your cry will not be answered. Yeah, you may categorize yourself, I'm not in the bracket of the poor, but you have needs. Otherwise, everybody who is rich and has money would be lacking nothing, yeah? But there is always that thing which is more than money, which is more than wealth that you desire. Sometimes it's relations that you desire. Sometimes it's good health that you desire. And money can't give that. Sometimes it's peace of mind, peace of heart that you look for. And money can't give that. And you cry out to the Lord to give it to you, because irrespective of how much you've earned and how much you're worth, you have not found the peace. And you'll cry out to the Lord, but the Lord will always come out and check, how do you respond to the cry of the poor before I respond to the cry of your heart for peace? So we look out, make it a point. There's always somebody who is in need around you, and you have to help them. We need to put that in ourselves, that around us are people who need help. Around us are people who are poor. Around us are people who are needy. And we need to stretch out our hand to them, so that even when we go to God crying out for our own needs, God looks at that. Remember, we looked last time that helping or lending a hand to the poor is lending to God. Yeah? Lending to God is one of the best things that you can do, because when you lend to Him, He pays back. Yeah? When you lend to him, he does not say, come for your money tomorrow, and then tomorrow he runs out of the shop. No, he will be there. He will be there. At whatever point that you need and cry to him, you lend to him through giving to the poor, lend to him through helping the needy, and indeed he will come out as well and pay that debt to you. Verse 14, a gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe hidden in the pocket, strong wrath. When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, the upright, the one with the right standing with God. But to the evildoers, it is a disaster, a man who wanders from the way of understanding. And here they're talking about godly wisdom. When you wander, when you run from the way of godly wisdom, we'll remain in the assembly of the dead. Whenever we run from the Lord, we are in an assembly of the dead. We are in a position of perishing. You cannot live your life without God. We cannot live lives without God. When we live without God, then we are in an assembly of death. We are in eternal punishment. We are in judgment, destruction that is ready to consume us. So we always keep in the way of the Lord, in godly wisdom, in reading his word, in studying his word, in letting him speak to us. He who loves only selfish pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves and is devoted to wine and oil will not become rich. Of course, that is in attachment, and we see it, someone addicted, taken up by wine, that every coin, every cent they make, they put it into wine. They never progress. Yeah, it's written. It's here. We know it. We've seen it. The wicked become a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous in the place of the upright, for they fall into their own traps. It's better to dwell in a desert land than with a contentious and troublesome woman. They refer a lot about this troublesome woman. And we know they do exist. There is precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise who prepare for the future, but a short-sighted and foolish person swallows it up and wastes it. He who honestly seeks righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. When you seek righteousness, you will find it. When you seek loyalty, you will find honor. You will find life. A wise man scales the city walls of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards himself from troubles. We've talked about this multiple times still. Guard your mouth. You don't have to talk all the time. You don't have to have an opinion all the time. You don't have to be the one with the solution all the time. Because oftentimes when you speak much, you err in the words you say. Yeah? So guard your tongue. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with overbearing and insolent pride. Pride kills. Pride gives you names. They call you haughty. They call you scoffer. Yeah? The desire of the lazy kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He craves all the day long and does no work. I want this, I want food, I want money, but you don't want to work. How will you get it? Get out and work. It is biblical to work. Yeah, it's not disturbing your life. It is biblical for me to go out and work, irrespective of what I do. It's biblical for me. And even us as leaders, even those who spread the word, even those who preach, it's good for you to work. Yeah, you know, sometimes we say that we are always preaching, but you don't preach 24/7. For the hours that you have and you're not in ministry, go out and work. Do something for yourself. Do a farming project. Do something. Get out and work, because there's a blessing for you in the city. There's a blessing for you when you get out and work. Yeah? Remember Paul, he speaks about this. You work so that you don't become a burden even to the flock. Yeah, that they have to sustain you all the time, that they have to bring to you because you don't work. They're out there sweating. Go out as well and do some sweating. God shall bless you. God shall increase you. Yeah. But the righteous willingly gives and does not withhold what he has. The sacrifice of the wicked is detestable and offensive to the Lord. Of course, the wicked also give, but the offering given is detestable to the Lord. How many times do you give an offering, but because of your lifestyle, it is denied access to the blessing of God? Because of the way you treat others, it is not considered before the Lord. Huh? That's something to consider. You give in church, but then your life does not let the offering go out to work for you. Caution. How much more unacceptable and insulting can it be when he brings it with evil intention? Now, that is even worse. Yeah? You're offering already by your stature that you're not righteous before God, but then even the wrong motive that comes along with it. I give so that they praise me. I give so that the entire church can clap and say, oh, that's the rich man of the place. Yeah? That which you give is not considered by the Lord. But a man who listens to the truth will speak forever and go and challenge. A wicked man puts a bold face. But as for the upright, he considers, directs, and establishes his way with the confidence of integrity. There is no human wisdom, all understanding, all counsel that can prevail against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance and victory belong to the Lord. That is to bring an attention to us that we plan, but it still gets all in the hands of the Lord. We make plans for life and how we want things to go, but never forget to leave it in the hands of the Lord. Always give the Lord room to come out and take the place that he's supposed to take. Chapter 22. A good name. Now, what is a good name? That is a name that has been earned by honorable behavior, by godly wisdom, by moral courage, and personal integrity. That is a good name. And they're saying a good name is more desirable than great riches. Yeah? I saw one of our ministers yesterday in Parliament. They spoke about him and what he has done. And he came out to say that you are spoiling my name. You don't know how much I've built my name. Eventually, everybody is concerned about their name. Eventually, everyone is concerned about their name. However much you're rich and you've done everything, you will want your name to be spoken of well. And you know, you get on online, on YouTube, internet, look at names of those that are considered big, and you'll find that there's high interest in having your name well known. People reporting good about you and the things you did, the good things you did. Yeah, because if all they have to say is negative, then what did you benefit? Your name is key. And everybody has a name to protect. Everybody, every single person has a name to protect. Don't say, I'm not known, I'm not in the news, so my name does not matter. No. Your name matters, at least to your children. Your children need to speak about you. They need to give a good report of you. Your family, your friends, those around you, they need to speak the best about you because your name matters. And what makes the name? Honorable behavior, wisdom from the Lord, courage, morality, integrity. Those are the things that build your name, not just riches. That man was rich, no, it's not all about that. It also gets down to the way you live and act. And favor is better than silver and gold. The rich and poor have a common bond. The Lord is a maker of them all. The Lord made us all, everybody, rich and poor. A prudent and far-sighted person sees the evil of sin and hides from himself from it. Running away from evil, running away from sin. Seeing things that are going to bring you down and you run away from them. But the naive continue on and are punished by suffering the consequences of sin. Whenever you don't realize the trouble that sin is going to lead you into, then you will have to suffer the consequences of sin itself. And the consequences are always hard and oppressive and destructive into your life. The reward of humility, that is having a realistic view of one's importance and the reverence, worship, fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the obstinate. Yeah? For their lack of honor and their wrongdoing traps them. He who guards himself with godly wisdom will be far from them and avoid the consequences they suffer. Then here comes the scripture worries here of in verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Yeah? And what do they mean when they say train up that child? They mean teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Yeah, train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. How often have we had that? But God has entrusted us with our own children. And if you've not even got one yet, for those who are listening, one day you will have one, or two, or three, or four, or five, whichever number it is. And it is your role to train up that child. It is not the role of the school to train up that child. It is not the role of the church to train up the child. It is my role as a parent. I invest time for them. I make time to be home and train them and let them know about God. It is mandatory for me as a parent to teach my children about God. You don't give them to the Sunday school teacher and say, teach them about God. No, as a parent, I need to teach my children about God. I need to teach my children etiquette. How do they eat? How do they dress? How do they sit? How do they walk? How do they talk? It is my role as a parent, train up a child. And whenever we don't do that role, when our children grow old, they become a nuisance to society. They are not considered as sensible in society. And it all has a part to play with where they've come from, with the home, where they've been raised. So as a parent, it is my role, yeah, to train up my child so that when they grow up, they do not depart from it. It's not easy. That one I know and I've experienced and I know and I can say. It's not easy to train up your child. It's not easy to let them walk in the path that you want them to walk, but do your best. Because even those small things that they learn, even by the way, when they've grown and, you know, that youthful time and teenage time and they are doing all sorts of manners and things and getting wrong company and all, there is that bit of your word that you spoke that remains in them. And they will always come out and testify, my mother told me this, my father told me this, I should not do this and that. And it's all because of that which you've put into them while they're still children. So my role as a parent is key in the life of my child, that I need to train them. I need to let them see who God is. I need to take them in positions that help them get into relationship with God. And also, which is also added here, is letting them realize their abilities, their talents, their gifts. That is something as a parent that you can know and help your child to even prosper in that. You know, sometimes we want our children to become like we are or like what we were. I am a doctor, so I want my child to become a doctor. I'm a lawyer, so I want my child to become a lawyer. No, look at that gift and talent that God has given your child. Because you'll realize it, you'll notice it if you're always around them and help them grow in that particular gift. Everybody God has sent with something special, yeah? And it's you as a parent to help the child get that out of themselves to prosper in life. Verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He who sows injustice will reap a harvest of trouble, and the rod of his wrath will fall. He who is generous will be blessed. We've seen that. For he who gives some of his food to the poor. Yeah? So, the reason that you'll be blessed, give some food to the poor. Drive out the scoffer, and contention will go away. Even strife and dishonor will cease. He who puts purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. The eyes of the Lord keep guard over knowledge and the one who has it, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous. The lazy one says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the streets if I go out to work. The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is cursed by the Lord because of his adulterous sin will fall into it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. He who oppresses or exploits the poor to get more for himself, all who gives to the rich to gain influence and favor will only come to poverty. We've looked at these subjects multiple times, even this week and through this book. Listen carefully and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in mind. Let them be ready on your lips, yeah, so that your trust and reliance and confidence may be in the Lord. I have taught these things to you today, even to you. Have I not written to you excellent things in counsels and knowledge to let you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may give a correct answer to him who sent you. Do not rob the poor, because he's poor and defenseless. Yeah? Nor crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case. God always fights for the people, for the poor, for those that are hurt and brought down. God comes out to fight for them. So be very careful when you afflict the poor, because you fight with God himself. Yeah? Do not even associate with a man given to angry outbursts, or go along with a hot-tempered man. All you will learn his undisciplined ways. Watch people who are short-tempered. Stay far from them. Yeah? And get yourself trapped. Do not be among those who give pledges, involving themselves in others' finances, or among those who become guarantors for others' debts. Of course, this goes down to the law. Of course, it is warning. Yeah? Because when you're a guarantor, then when someone fails to pay, it's coming to you. Then also a warning on pledges. Yeah? I'll give 1 million for your wedding. You don't have it. You don't know where it's going to come from. But you're just speaking in a meeting so that you get value. But you're making a pledge that you know you can't fulfill. Don't do that. Yeah? And why should his creditor take your bed from under you? Do not move the ancient landmark. Of course, now this is for the land thugs, people who steal land. Moving marks. And they are there in our society. They move marks at the boundary of property and steal people's land. It's a warning. Do not move ancient landmarks, which your father said. Do you see a man skillful and experienced in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. If a man is skillful and experienced in work, he will stand before kings. Your role, your skill will pave a way for you in this life, and you'll stand before kings and big people in your land and in the world. We shall close there today. We'll continue with chapter 23 tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for revealing your word to us and speaking to us always. Help us to always do that which you desire for us to do and walk lives that honor and please you. We exhort you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.